kind of like Facebook Marketplace a lot, actually. I like to look for Lego, honestly, in particular. Most people try to make money off of it, but every once in a while you can tell someone's just like, I need to get this out of my house. Like, you're my guy.
I get stuff off of it all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, I'm trying to buy a dump trailer.
Okay.
A hydraulic dump trailer. And I'm like, you guys put them up for sale. Uh-huh. Like, I didn't knock on your door. I didn't call your home. Right. I tried to respond to you. So anyways, I just never understand it. I'm like, why did you put it up for sale and then like won't answer? Won't. But you know what, Joe? I just move on with life. I figure there's bigger problems in the world than whether or not I get the trailer that I want.
Well, sometimes I, if I'm selling something on Facebook Marketplace, like, and it doesn't get action, you forget about it, like, because no one responded. And then all of a sudden, like, this happened to me probably like 3 months ago. Somebody's like, hey, is this still for sale? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I did post that, didn't I? And it was still for sale. I hadn't gotten rid of it. But it was one of those deals where, like, I think sometimes, depending upon how long that goes, you're like, I forgot I posted that online.
Well, my particular frustrations at the moment are I have an alert set because I'm looking for this trailer.
Oh, sure.
Because I have a massive project I want to do at the house. So, like, when you list it, I interact with you within a number of minutes.
Sure.
I'm like, yeah. Guys, come on.
You're hunting them down.
Anyways, bigger problems in the world. Yeah. You know what I could do?
What could you do?
Is I could just hire you and like hook up a sled to you.
Oh, absolutely.
And you could pull things for me.
Yeah, done.
it'd be way easier.
Every once in a while, that really is our workout. They really do just like pile on hundreds of pounds onto a sled and we drag it across the parking
lot. Isn't that
lot.
Remarkably like what the trolls did in Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, it's pretty much that. And it's just repeated labor. It's just like, I'm going to move this over here and then I'm going to move it back.
Yeah, you know what, Joe? That's why I refuse to work out.
That's it.
I'm not going to get caught up in the system. And the man isn't going to hold me down.
Yeah, that's going to bring us to our topic today. Why workout's not worth it. No exercise for,
I just say no exercise.
Oh, sure.
I just won't be, you know, put into a system.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just uniquely me, Joe.
Absolutely.
Nobody understands me but
no me. No one does. What a mixed message that is. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue, who is uniquely him. I am Joe Caruso. We are very glad you're here. There's a lot of voices out there. It might be news, social media, comedians, or even friends. And it's tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. So we want to offer you a resource to kind of think through the noise and figure out a way that allows us to cut through all those mixed messages around us and find the way of Jesus. Jeff, let's go ahead and get into it. We got a one of those like long-time listener situations here today, which is super fun. And they actually write in a relatively lengthy question, and I think that this is really, really helpful. So we're going to go ahead and read through most of this, and then we'll dive into kind of some nuances in people's faith and their understanding of Christian belief.
Okay.
So my wife and I, the caller says, that's like old school radio right there.
I know.
The submitter.
Welcome to 1997.
Yeah, I know. Man, where did that even come from?
I
all right.
Know.
Anyway, you know what it is? I've been listening to, I think it's K-Love in the morning with my daughter on the way to school, and they're in the middle of one of those like annual, we got to raise money, you know, a-thons. So I probably have that language in my head this week. That's my excuse anyway.
Okay. Good for you, Joe.
Well,
came up with a good excuse.
The person who submitted through our bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages form said, my wife and I have been watching Grace sermons online for well over a year and attending in person occasionally, and we participated in a Rooted group this spring as well. We're both very committed to following Jesus, spiritual growth. We know that we're meant to be a part of the church and community with other believers. My wife is Catholic, and I've grown up in non-denominational church, very much like Grace. Today, we attend holiday services at both, watch every Grace sermon online, and occasionally attend Catholic Mass. Since starting our second marriages about 2 years ago, we have both truly valued the diverse experiences of both. As we grow, and as we know we need to progress, go deeper, connect more, etc., challenges are beginning to surface. Notably, the difference in beliefs about communion and the inclusiveness or the exclusiveness and how that's celebrated in each church. I'm not supposed to take communion in the Catholic Church because I don't believe that the bread and wine have literally been transfigured into Jesus' actual body and blood. I can accept the difference in beliefs, but I have trouble with a church that doesn't believe I should participate in communion because I didn't share the belief in transfiguration. I feel like that's kind of an exclusion that's inconsistent with the heart and character of Jesus. I'd like to speak to someone from Grace or have the podcast interact with this. I love it every once in a while. This is me segueing when they use the form to say, or I could just meet with one of you guys, which does happen from time to time. But they say, yeah, I'd love to talk with one of you or have it addressed on the podcast about this issue. And I'm not sure how to navigate these waters of a very similar but somewhat different beliefs in a way that honors God, respects each of our beliefs, and doesn't allow the enemy to separate or divide our marriage. I believe completely that the Lord specifically chose my wife and I for one another, not just because of his kindness, but because of our potential to serve him exceptionally and do great things for his kingdom together. I believe he would prioritize unity, not division. I want to handle this carefully and appropriately. We're both very serious about our faith and our commitment to God and our gratitude for Jesus' sacrifice and our desire to live as he wants us to. Do we have to pick one church or one church community to plug into? Can we pick both? Is it okay for me to attend Catholic Mass even though I feel uncomfortable with their exclusion issue? What advice can you offer in helping to navigate these challenges? So, Jeff, here's what seems to be an incredibly authentically interested and wants to move forward individual, but with a pretty complex mm-hmm. question regarding their marriage, their faith, and all those things. How would you help our listener here?
So, it is a little bit of a complex question, and in some ways it's simple. So I think the answer is simple, living it out is complex, you know? Yep. So that's the way that I would think of it. So this is what I would say. This is actually an issue concerning your marriage. It's not an issue concerning the theology of the church. Mm. So in its bottom line, the issue is this. You chose to marry a woman who is Catholic. Your wife chose to marry a man who is Protestant. You guys have to live graciously and lovingly in those decisions. Mm. So you're going to have to decide that you're not offended by the fact that her religion is not open to you. Mm. Because you're going to that religion out of your love for her, not out of your acceptance of the religion.
Sure.
And then the same thing, maybe I should say church, mm-hmm. the same thing is true of in reverse with her. So when she comes to Grace, like Grace does not believe that the bread and the wine are transfigured into the actual body of blood of Christ. So we would have a completely different view mm-hmm. on communion. She has to give grace and live in a gentleness with a church and a faith system that she knew was yours before you met. Mm-hmm. Now, let me break out of this particular couple and speak in generalities. This is one of the tensions that you get into when you look at marriage and say, we'll work our faith out later. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that's what this couple did. So right. I want to just be clear. I'm not talking directly to our listener right now, but I'm talking in broad terms. So many times what happens is when people meet each other, faith is a background issue in their life. Mm. And so it becomes a background issue in their relationship. And they think it's not going to be a big deal, when in reality, it's a massive deal. Mm-hmm. And that's why I would say faith is the primary link that you build a relationship off, not of a secondary thing. And when you're dating, and certainly when you're engaged, that's the time that you figure church out. And one person is going to probably have to compromise on that. Mm-hmm. So even if you were both Protestants and you grew up in separate Protestant churches, one church is home to one person, it's a foreign place to the other one. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a couple will leave both and go find their own. Sometimes somebody will yield, it's not that big of a deal to them, so they'll go one way or the other. But when that decision is made, it's made. Mm-hmm. I see this happen a lot where a person who's a Jesus follower will marry a non-Jesus follower. And then over time, their frustration with them not being a Jesus follower were built. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You knew that. Now that's a pretty unfair proposition, that something that I knew about you, that I accepted about you, that I chose to put on a back burner or ignore, is now the biggest point of tension in our relationship. Well, one of you shifted, and it's not the person who wasn't a Jesus follower or to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then you get into children and how we're raising them, what our home is going to be like, what is a Christ-centered home, what does that look like as opposed to not. So those decisions are wildly important. And what happens is when you will address the question of your faith in Christ to the degree that it's a priority for you when you met the person. Mm-hmm. If it's the top priority for you, it will be the top question. If it's the bottom priority for you, it'll be the last thing. And you'll look and say, we're happy, we're in love, we get along, I feel like I found my soulmate. Well, then you find out that issues of the soul mm-hmm. are actually what drive marriages. Mm-hmm. And we don't believe that. We're like, no, it's happiness. I'm like, no, it's not. It's issues of the soul. It defines priority. It defines right and wrong. It defines values. It defines children. It defines the culture of the home. It is absolutely everything. So that's the most important thing. And when one side of the couple withdraws that, the other thing I've seen a lot over the years is two people who marry and are excited about Jesus, and one drifts away. Mm-hmm. And now you have a spouse who's like, I married them because. Okay, so it winds up being like wildly unfair. Now, I want to go back to the person who, our listener who wrote us in. What I would say to him is that I'm like, yeah, you just need to be gracious. Mm-hmm. And instead of being offended by the Catholic Church, which you knew was important to your wife and you knew was going to be a part of your life, you need to be gracious in that and just don't take communion there. Mm-hmm. That's not fair, so to say, to be tense with it. And if his spouse is listening, I would say vice versa. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that's actually what they've been doing.
It does sound that way, yes.
And I would like double down on that. Now, the question of, Do we have one church? Mm-hmm. And I would recommend yes. Mm-hmm. Because of this, I would recommend that you have one church so that you build Christ-centered relationships with people within the body.
Yeah.
And that it's not just about attending or watching online, but it's like, it's kind of like your rooted group that he mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like we have friends, we have relationships, we have other Christ-centered people. And we're going to prioritize our involvement, so to say, in the place where that is being created. That does not mean that you don't go to Mass at Christmas and Easter, or you don't occasionally attend there because, in this case, your wife is maybe craving something or missing something. That's back to a marriage relational issue where you're just being gracious with each other.
Yeah.
What it does mean is that to be a part of the church, you need to know people and be known by people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can do that effectively splitting time between churches. There's all kinds of people at Grace who come to Grace and still go to something Catholic, and they're doing that in many ways to preserve family relationships.
Yeah. And not even just Catholic. I mean, they go to their mom's Baptist church, or they go to the, and it's like you said, it's all familial.
It's all familial, and it's good. You know, mm-hmm. when your niece gets confirmed, you should go.
Sure.
Yeah. And support. I was talking to a family a couple weeks ago. I was like, I'll see you this week. And they're like, actually, we're going to be at this Methodist church. They're doing a Boy Scout thing. Our son's a Boy Scout. I'm like, oh, good. You know, and so I think we can be way tense about that. That's very different than like, my sister's a Satanist, so we went and sacrificed a cat. You know,
yeah, for sure.
There's obviously boundaries and biblical boundaries, moral boundaries, what you want to expose your children to, all those kind of things. But in general, I think Jesus highly prioritizes and favors relationships. Mm-hmm. And if there's a gracious way to maintain that relationship, great. And I would really try to build a church home mm-hmm. that you have a set of relationships. You have a pastor.
Yeah.
Like, who do you call, like in the 911 situation? Friends, who do you call when you're like, hey, let's get together with somebody and play euchre tonight, you know, kind of a thing. And I would try to find that balance with it.
Yeah, you're hinting around a concept that I've actually heard you share multiple times over the years that, yes, Jesus prays for and tries to lead us toward unity, but it doesn't mean uniformity.
That's right.
And so, yeah, walk us through, like, the difference between that, because some people do think unity means we're going to do all the same things all the same time.
Unity is brotherly, sisterly love. It's family. It is a... I do not believe that everyone who says Jesus out loud is a follower of Jesus. Mm. And I do not believe that everyone that does not go to Grace Church is also not a follower of Jesus. Right. So I think true followers of Jesus are in every corner where Jesus is taught and the scripture is valued and salvation is found by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not Catholic for a reason.
Sure.
Right, so I don't agree with the Catholic Church's theology. I don't agree with their teaching and their approach to the Bible. That does not mean that I hate them.
Right, of course.
That does not mean that I think all Catholics are going to hell.
Right.
I'm not Baptist for a reason. Mm-hmm. I'm not Methodist for a reason. So Grace Church believes what we believe. I like to say that there's an old saying that where we agree, there's unity. Where the Bible is unclear, there's a grace mm-hmm. that's offered there. And where the Bible is clear, there is conformity. Like, Jesus is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And I can partner with anybody on those levels as long as they're not in disagreement or, like, rebellion against the Word. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I would say, like, any Protestant church, it depends on the church you're talking about, mm-hmm. the local church. Catholic church depends on the local Catholic church you're talking mm-hmm. about, whether they're in line with Scripture or not. And I would say that most of my friends who are Catholic or even priest feel that way about me.
Sure.
They're like, yeah, we like Jeff. We I'll see him in heaven. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to have way more fun before I get there. So, like, we'll tease back mm-hmm. and forth.
Yeah.
But I don't believe you should pray to Mary. I don't believe that the saints are involved in our lives. I do believe in the person of Jesus Christ. And I believe in the authority of God's word. I believe in salvation by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. So there's a grace that can be extended to all of that. And I will even say this, I am very aware that not everybody who goes to Grace Church agrees with what I teach.
Sure.
Right? So, like, I get all the nuances. And that's where, like, with our listener, I'm like, be gracious to your spouse, and it sounds like she's gracious to you. Find a community of believers and double down on it. Mm-hmm. And then graciously interact back and forth. And where there is disagreement from the scripture, mm-hmm. let the word of God have authority in that place. Where there's disagreement in, like, how to interpret that scripture, be gracious. Mm-hmm. And where there is rejection of scripture, that's where you put your foot down.
Yeah.
Say it. Yeah, I can't buy into that.
I like those,
but even that you do in grace.
Right, right. I like those categories that you're bringing out there between, you know, the unity and the conformity and where you put your foot down when there's a disagreement. Because if we're being honest, that's how all relationships work. I don't, maybe I'm contentious, I don't fully agree with anyone. Like, I don't fully agree with my wife on everything. But we still figure out, like, how to do all the things you just talked about. Like, we live in unity. I was teasing friends this week. They love pineapple on pizza. I think that's blasphemous. Like, it's just like,
I do too.
You know,
and chicken.
Yeah. Ah. Well,
and chicken, white sauce.
Chicken, ah. I can, like, it's like a different thing.
No, Joe, don't go liberal.
So, yeah. But, like, my whole, I mean, I actually, I I could go really deep on the pineapple thing, but it's just, but we were talking about that, and it's like, yeah, we can disagree on things. Some of it's, you know, silly, like, what do you want on your pizza? And some of it's slightly more contentious, but you have to figure out how to do that together. Otherwise, you're going to cause those drifts and cause those rifts. And in a thing like a marriage or a thing like your faith, like, we're here to follow Jesus, not vice versa. So if we find ourselves disagreeing with Jesus but wanting to follow him, he's right.
Yeah, and what you get into is like levels of conformity. So like the pastoral staff of Grace Church needs to be 98% in lockstep with me.
Sure, yeah.
Because that's not a place that you allow for a diversity of, I'm talking about theology and doctrine. The small group leaders of Grace Church need to be 95% in lockstep with the church. The participants of the group are probably, I don't know, whatever percentage, or you wouldn't want to participate.
Right.
So it, like, I'm aware that we like, you and I are close friends and worked together forever and went to the same seminary, and we don't fully agree
on
everything. But how we handle those, we don't get up and preach sermons against each other.
No.
And then there has to be conformity on the key things. Like, if you're like, I don't know, maybe Jesus was a God, not the God, I'd be like, hey, why don't you go ahead and grab a box, clean out your office, bud, you know, kind of a thing.
For sure.
So those aren't up for grabs. And then a lot of it is how we interact with God. So, like, I love, if I want to be alone with the Lord, if I want to feel close to God, I'm probably going to be alone. I'm probably going to be outside. And I'm probably going to have a style of music that I alone like playing, okay? Others, like our listener's wife, she might be like, you know, that Gregorian chant and that choir and that stained glass. I'm like, well, those are personality things.
Sure.
So I could participate in portions of that, especially if I'm with someone who values it. Like I love going to an art museum with an artist because they see what I don't see, and I really appreciate what they see. So I can do all that, but I can't take communion at a Catholic church, and it's not because they will or won't let me. I don't agree.
Yeah, and they won't let you. But yes, you don't agree. Yeah,
but Thea, I can't recite a lot of the prayers because I don't agree with them, right? And so those are just, that's why I'm not Catholic and why I would, why our teaching is different. But I am not like protesting when it comes to like the Catholic Church is pro-life. I'm like, we totally agree on that. The Catholic Church stands for traditional marriage. I'm like, we totally agree on that. So we have areas where we have agreement. And then in all things, there's a graciousness and a love, and I can laugh and have fun with someone. And there's no problem there. Now, the reason I bring that up is because there's a sect of evangelicalism that practices what's called separatism, and I grew up in it. So if I was friends, if I was still a part of the church I grew up in, and I was friends with a Catholic priest, they would remove me from the church.
Wow.
Because I didn't separate myself. So everything I'm saying sounds wildly liberal to them. So it was really, that tradition was very hard to understand that I can have very deep, actually very conservative theological beliefs and interpretations of the scripture while being like super open to having relationships and friendships with people that disagree with me. So there are parts of the world, and by the way, that's true of the Catholic Church too, because we've had that, had people actually show up and speak against us. And I'm like, yeah, that's way out of bounds. So grace in all things, relationship in all things.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I really hope this helps our listener and their spouse. I think that I love how you couch that this, sure, there's theological concepts here, there's unity concepts, but the core of what they're asking is a marriage conversation. So I hope that, like our listeners that just wrote in, if you have questions like this that you'd like us to tackle or get deeper into something we've addressed, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and go ahead and send them our way. And we'd love to hear how these conversations are helping you, so make sure you reach out and let us know and help us know how to serve and help and lead you better. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace this weekend, whether in person or online, if you're looking for a place to run after Jesus together. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to see God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. See you next time.